This programme was previously broadcast live on Love Sport Radio, so some items may be out of date. Phone-in elements of these shows are not available, but if you'd like to comment or give us feedback on our shows, you can tweet us at Love Sport Radio. For more podcasts or to listen live, visit lovesportradio.com. Alternatively, you can find this and other podcasts on iTunes or Spotify using the keyword Love Sport.
We are top of the league. We are.
I've always wanted to start a show like that. And finally, I'm able to do it on this, of course, the Leeds United fan show here on Love Sport. Me, Matt Beadle, as always, with John McKenzie from All Stats, aren't we? Hello, John.
Hello. Is this the first time we've been top of the table since we've
I'm going to say yes.
Wow.
It might not be, but I'm going to say yes because it's the first time
Sounds
I've done
good,
that chant.
It?
Yeah, it does. Thanks for ruining my intro there, John. Cheers. And with us this week, we have Nat Dufton. Hello, Nat.
Hello, how are you doing?
Very, well, brilliant. I'm brilliant because Leeds are top of the league. Unbeaten in 10, of course, conceding just 3 times in that time and 4 clean sheets in a row, gents. It cannot get any better right now.
It cannot. We've had a really nice run of games. We started talking about it, I guess, a month ago. It would have been this run starting, and we were just saying it's quite nice to ease through games, get the wins when we needed them, especially because we've got this really important run of results. I think a run of fixtures over the Christmas period. It's been nice to get a few points under our belts. We're now, I think, what were we, 11? 9 points clear of third place? 11 points are clear third? I can't remember, but we have... You can check that out.
Oh, yeah, keep talking.
I think it's 11, yeah.
I think it's 11 too, but obviously Forest have a game in hand, that's right. Yeah.
So it's Reading and they're not very good, so...
Yeah, we'll see how it goes. But yeah, it's a great position to be in, and I'm feeling quite confident really going into Christmas because we can afford to drop points, and that's always a nice position to be in.
Indeed it is. Now, I know that we start every show with an opening stat, but I'm just going to get you to hold that thought, John.
Okay.
Because you're in the studio today with Nat, and you told me a lovely story before we came on air as to how Nat came to be in the studio today.
Yeah, that's right, I did. So we started a London Leeds group on Twitter for people who are Leeds fans in London who want to get together and meet for the games. And I met Nat and that through that. So, yeah, we went to the famous Three Kings of West Kensington, mm-hmm. and watched the Huddersfield game together.
This is the beauty of social media, Nat.
It's fantastic. I'm a guy who I actually also met in that pub when I moved to London came with us as well. There's about 20-odd in the group now. And we've had a little look at... So London Whites used to be... the London Whites, and they haven't posted since 2014, so we're going to try and take over that Twitter page and see if we can sort of get that revamped and get that started again.
Oh, lovely. So you've slid into the old DMs and been
I've slid into like dead DMs, but you know, I'm trying.
We've all slid into dead DMs, mate. It's not a nice place to be. John, right, opening stat, please.
Yeah, again, courtesy of Josh Hobbs. We're talking about big chances, really. So we've talked about big chances before, and big chances, at most data gatherers call a big chance anything that's above 0.3 XG. So 30% chance of scoring, it's pretty high. So any chance that's above that, we're calling a big chance. So before the Hull game, Leeds were averaging 2.6 big chances per 90. So every game, you're looking at 2.5 decent chances that you would hope to score. The whole game was actually the first game all season that we haven't created at least one big chance. And in doing so, we dropped from 2.6 big chances per 90 to 2.4. West Bromwich Albion, obviously, who are our closest challengers, are currently on 2.3 big chances per game. So the gap is closing a little. So there you go. Leeds haven't had the most productive few games, so it's had a hit on our big chance production.
It's had a hit on big chance production, but it hasn't had a hit on results, has it, Nat?
No, I think it's quite the same. If anything, creating less chances, we seem to be more clinical. When we have too many, we just can't take them. I mean, I love Paddy. I think he's a great player, but if you give him five chances, I feel like he can waste a lot of them. So I think give him one and he takes it, or he hits the post and dives out of the way and lets Alioski hit it instead. So,
I think there are certain caveats, I think, to this. For example, Hull, obviously, we were very worried about both Kamal Grzycki and also Jared Bowen, obviously. So we sat with our fullbacks a little bit deeper against them. And as a result of that fact, we sat our wide players a little bit deeper as well. And I think that, for example, that means that we were, I think, a little bit more stilted going forward. We didn't have quite the same coverage that we usually have. Another thing to mention, I think, is also things like game state. So when we say game state, what we mean is if Leeds are a goal up, for example, that changes the way that the game is going to go from there on in. So, if, for example, in the Borough game, we didn't actually create a huge amount of chances, but we'd scored the goal after 3 minutes, and because we'd scored that goal, it meant that we could be a little bit more controlling. We didn't have to attack quite so much. So there are certain explanations, I think, for why our production values might be slightly down in the last few games. But both Huddersfield and Hull, I think, did cause us problem. Huddersfield in particular, with their first half, they came out, they went long ball, and they played quite an aggressive counter press, and Leeds really didn't deal well with it. I mean, part of that is to do with the fact that we had a back line of fullbacks, and then Ben White was playing as a central midfielder, and that just didn't work. So
we talked about that on last week's show, didn't we?
Yeah, how did
that go then?
I don't think it worked particularly well, because I think he just sort of drifted deeper and deeper, and it meant that we then had two midfielders against their midfield three, and we really didn't, and they fielded tall players as well, so it felt as though we sort of ceded a lot of control in the middle. But obviously their aggressive pressing in the second half became a lot less aggressive, and Leeds calmed down a little bit, and as a result of that, we sort of went back to what we were expecting. We had a like 50-50 split on possession, for example, in the first half, which is very rare for Leeds to do in a half, but they did manage to pull it back in Leeds' favour to about 60-40, I think, in the second half. So it's one of those things where the last couple of games have been quite difficult for Leeds. They've been games where we haven't scored until relatively late on, but we're still easing through and getting the results.
So amongst my group of mates, Nat, we have a World Player of the Year every season, right? Mm-hmm. There's always someone that we pick out that's just like, he's the World Player of the Year. And if I give you an example of what kind of player we pick out, in the past it's been Harry Arter.
Yep.
And Emerson Boyce has been in there as well. I have a feeling this year, or even next year, if Leeds do go up, it is going to be a certain Mr. Alioski. Because, I'm sorry, I know I speak about him a lot on this show, but I love him.
He does bring an extra dynamic. I was at the Reading game where he came on, and it was his explosive pace that drove us up for Jack Harrison to score that fantastic winner. He was brilliant, fantastic against Hull when he came on. I thought he just gave that a little bit of extra pizzazz. He's got that kind of... He's got the terrible hair. What did I say, terrible? He's got that bit of Middle Eastern flair, I guess. So it's like... what he really offers is this pace and this unpredictability about his play. You don't really know, is he a fullback? Is he a winger? What's he really coming at you with? And I think that really confuses very tired defences that we've been running at all game, pressing. And then Alioski just comes on and goes, yeah, I'll have you now. Mm. And it just works brilliantly.
Also, we brought him on as a wide player as in the last game too, and he got the goal too. It is like you say, it's great because we have such a nice mixture of fullbacks at the moment. We could play Barry Douglas 1 week, we could play Stuart Dallas there, but both of those guys are sort of fairly conservative, a bit more defensively sound fullbacks. But when you bring on Alioski, then you really get both of your wide players on the left hand side being quite attacking, and it's quite fun to watch as a fan.
And football in all its wonderfulness, all its fantasticness, I'm going to say, at Elland Road during the week. Speaking of Alioski, completed a move, by the way, started by Kiko. And again, we spoke about him last week, but a great performance, a couple of very decent saves against Huddersfield. And that save from Tom Eaves at one end, cleared by Leeds, and a wonderful counter-attack. That is exactly the type of goal you love seeing as a fan inside the ground.
Yeah, no, definitely. And I think... you mentioned Kiko. We were talking before we went on air about how important Kiko's been to us, and we were just trying to work out the best sort of time that if this legal case comes through and he ends up getting a six-match ban, we were asking, like, where is it that we're going to... Whereabouts are we going to try and take that six-match ban? So we sort of went with... we've got the West Brom game just at New Year, I think, and then we've got the Arsenal game. So we're saying if he misses the Arsenal game, because it's not super important that he plays there, we've just had a really important run, and then we'll take five-game ban after that from the Arsenal game onwards. So, yeah, I think a lot of Leeds fans are really quite nervous about losing Kiko. But to get back to your question about the wonderful counter-attacking goal. Yes,
we've sure.
it's been lovely to sorry, that was a very roundabout way of answering, wasn't it? But,
no, hey, it's good.
It's been lovely to watch a couple of goals like that. We haven't seen that a lot from Leeds, mainly because I think teams do sit a little bit deeper against them, but also because, as we talked about it before, Marcelo Bielsa likes possession. He likes to keep possession. He's quite risk averse in terms of that, so he would rather keep the ball, I think, than try and go quickly and counter-attack and then risk losing the ball and then risk being countered upon. But we've seen a couple of times in the Reading game, obviously, that you've already mentioned, and the ball just moving down the field. I think it was 17 seconds from the Tom Eves save that you've mentioned to the Alioski goal, and obviously there was the big chance that Bamford, well, it wasn't technically a big chance, but that chance that he took onto the post, that would have made it even quicker. So, yeah, I love that sort of stuff. It's sort of Alex Ferguson during the 2000s kind of thing, isn't it, where you just know when Ronaldo and Rooney get on the ball and they get moving, there's a big chance that you could see a goal being scored. And it feels a little bit like that at Leeds at the moment.
Yeah, it does. I like it. Not technically a big chance. As far as statistics are concerned, it doesn't go on records. Now, we always have a Marcelo Bielsa quote as well that we like to refer to, because he likes to say some funny stuff. And sometimes it gets lost in translation, of course. But I liked his quote after that whole game. Hull City were not the best team to come here this season at the beginning of the game, but in the end, this has been a very important win for us. Brilliant.
It's a lovely roundabout way of saying, yeah, we're really good. did you not see us out there? It's fantastic. I think when you listen to his quotes, I know Graham Smith from the Yorkshire Union Post went out today, followed by a little bit of a blurb about following the election. And he kind of had to paraphrase and say, just so you know, Bielsa has not been endorsing the Labour Party. I really must stress this. Yeah, but when we play as well as that and he comes out with something as lovely and flossful as that, you think, yeah, of course.
Yeah, absolutely. We'll get into some quotes on Cardiff City as well. I know Neil Harris is bitten back just slightly. Very quickly, a score update from the Championship. Charlton without a win in 9, of course, drawing 0-0 at the Valley with Hull City. We've just spotted a very dubious tattoo from Yuri de Vrij, of course, scored an own goal for Leeds. For Hull against Leeds, of course, for Leeds to open the scoring in midweek. And hey, listen, each to their own, but it's all up his neck. I don't like it. I've had enough tattoos like that. This is the Leeds United fan show here on Love Sport.
Love Sport Radio, the station giving fans a voice.
It's the Leeds United fan show here on Love Sport. Me, Matt Beadle, joined by John McKenzie from All Stats, aren't we? And for the first time on the show, delighted to have Nat Dufton joining us as well. And now we are joined by a third party. And this one's going to go deep. I can feel it. This is going to be Stat City, because Chris Taylor from LUFC Data is on the line. Hello, Chris.
Hi, guys. How you doing? Thanks for having me on the show.
Mate, delighted to have you on. I'm presuming you're as much of a stats buff as my man John here.
To be honest, I can't get enough of stats, particularly under Bielsa. We're loving life. And, I mean, what an incredible season we're having so far. And, just loving life.
Hi, Chris, it's John. Just a question about the LUFC Data Twitter account. Like, how did you start that feed, and how do you feel things have gone?
Hiya, John. To be honest, I mean, it started back in 2012. It was all a bit of a hobby. And I've actually got Neil Warnock to thank, of all people, because I remember we're stuck in a really rough, of all people, I know, but we're stuck in a really rough patch of form. He was our manager at the time. And I just wanted to try and work out where it all went wrong. So this was before the days of Opta starting covering Championship data. So I was sort of manually working out our win percentages, what players were doing in certain positions. And it was fairly obvious that it was not going according to plan. It was terrible. So I've got him to thank. But yeah, started building up a database back then and built a database of every player, every match, and started looking into metrics. We got data in, I think, 2013-14. Opta started covering the championship then. And from there, really, it just built up from a hobby into something quite surreal now. So, quite a few years now, but certainly enjoying it.
So what's your general approach to a game? Like, is there certain people that you'll have an eye on that you're wondering whether or not they're going to produce certain stats or whether or not they're going to have a good game? Do you go in with an expectation of what you're going to put out on the Twitter account?
I do, yeah. I mean, you're looking for Pablo Hernandez to complete more successful final third passes. You're looking for, Ben White to make more interceptions than any other player. You're looking for certain specific metrics. You know that Leeds are going to dominate possession stats. You know that our passing is going to be pretty good and we're going to be pretty successful in the final third. But you've got to remain open and you just don't know what to expect in every game. And I'm sure the Leeds sort of back himself go into each game expecting the unexpected, really. So as much as you can sort of prepare for every game, you really don't know what's going to happen.
Hi there, Chris. It's Nat here. How are you doing?
Hi, you're Nat. Very well, thank you. How are you doing?
Yeah, not too bad, mate. Yeah, I'm very excited to be here. It's my first time on radio, so having a lovely time. I just had a quick question about the stat anomaly that is Kiko Casilla and the wonderful way that he completes more passes than any outfield player when we play teams. And I just think it's amazing. I mean, how many games this season has he done that in?
Oh, I think it's about 11 or 12 off the top of my head. But, I mean, it is a pretty remarkable stat. I mean, Leeds do use him quite a lot. You look at our fullbacks, you look at Stuart Dallas and Ayling and Ben White in particular, they do use him quite a lot. So he is heavily used. But it is quite a remarkable stat. I mean, he does see a lot of the ball. He's very comfortable with the ball at his feet. His distribution is a lot shorter than it used to be. He doesn't look to go long like he did in his first sort of 3 or 4 months. But yeah, it's an unusual stat. It's one that does ridiculously well on social media for all sorts of reasons. But I mean, Kiko's form in general this season has been unbelievable. He's really raised his game. He's got a strong head on now, and he's eliminated those errors from his game. And 12 clean sheets this season is quite a remarkable stat, and he's had a hand in pretty much all of those. So fair play to him, and hopefully he can go on and continue doing that.
Have you found it much more enjoyable doing what you do since Marcelo Bielsa has been in charge?
Oh, without a doubt. I mean, I remember the days of Brian McDermott, and lovely, lovely bloke. And I've got a lot of time for Brian, and I think a lot of people do. But it just didn't click. It didn't work out. There were lots of reasons for why that didn't happen, predominantly off the pitch. But on the pitch, it just didn't seem to be working. And some of the stats. I mean, I remember we went 8 months without a single win at Elland Road. And it was, I mean, that's a ridiculous situation to be in, and to run a stats account that's trying to generate positivity was a tough ask at the time. But 2013-14 and even 15 seems a long way away now, and the past 18 months under Bielsa has been a revelation. I mean, it's some of the best football we've ever seen. Some of these metrics are outstanding. We're the XG champions. We're conceding.
You'll never sing that, right?
Oh, sorry, I'm sorry.
Champions of XG, you'll never sing that.
I've got to pick you up on that. We're the XG champions.
Well, XG champions in waiting. It's definitely going to happen.
There will be an award soon. There will be an award at the end of the season, you can guarantee it.
I think that's absolutely coming back to bite us, that XG champions. I saw
It is.
Saw that something the other day that was, if XG counted as goals, we'd be about 20 points clear by now. We're basically up at that point. And you just think, oh my God, Patrick, please just put it in, mate.
It's pretty remarkable, isn't it? Oh, sorry, guys. I've just got a quick stat on the average XG conceded from open play. It's pretty remarkable this season. At the moment, I think it stands at 0.34, which is actually the best in England's top four tiers per game, which is an outstanding stat. And thought of that 3 years ago even would have been mind blowing. So we're in a very sort of unique landscape at the moment, and hopefully long may it continue.
So that's 0.3 XG per 90.
Yeah, our average XG conceded from open play per game,
right,
is about 0.34.
Yeah, that's decent.
Which is the best in top four tiers of English football. And we're conceding sort of fewer goals per game as well in the same parameters as well. So we're in a unique territory, and it's uncharted waters, but I'm absolutely loving it. It's brilliant.
I was wondering, are there any sort of standout stats for Leeds as a team this season? That we've beaten. There's one that pops to mind about the Notts County stat from back in, I think it was the 20s, about least number of goals conceded. Are there any more like that that are just, mind-boggling for the Championship?
Off the top of my head, I mean, the defensive stats stand out massively. But, I mean, to be honest, it's mostly, I've been comparing our stats this season to the first 21 games last season. We conceded 18 goals at this stage last season, conceded 10 this season. We've upped our possession by 2%. It was 63 last season. That's up to 65 this season. We've increased our shots. We've decreased our shots faced. We faced 207 shots last season. This season, it's 184. It's incredible. Our XG this season, I think, I've got it at 39.4. But last season it was 31.3. Our XG against it was 15.3 this season. Last season it was 19.5. But you go through most of the metrics: chances created, big chances created, fewer big chances faced. 9 clean sheets last season, 12 clean sheets this season. Ball recoveries is quite an important one. We made 1,159 last season. That's up to 1,197. I'm properly geeking out now, but
mate,
go on. It's incredible.
Matt's synapses are shutting down.
John McKenzie's having a bit of a hot flush here, mate. I'm not going to lie to you. There is, of course, the latest one I saw on your Twitter feed as well, that 46 points so far this season. That's the highest ever second-tier points tally after 21 matches.
That's right. I mean, what more can you say about that? I mean, we are 7 wins in a row. We're on the verge of 8. I don't want to jinx it. But, I mean, we're in uncharted territory. This is the second time Bielsa has done it. 7 consecutive wins in a row. But 46 points at this stage of a season it's remarkable. I honestly didn't expect to be in this position. I know we were given the title of favourites last year, at the start of the season, and it was always going to be tough to live up to that. But we've gone up a notch. We've approached it slightly differently. We're much more, we're pressing higher. Our intensity is much more. We're fitter. We're more well-versed in Bielsa ball. And I honestly think at this moment in time, we're looking at promotion material. And I know it's a very long way to go, and we're only 21 games in, but everyone's saying the same thing. We're in a very, very good place, and we've just got to kick on and keep it going.
Just one more question about the Twitter feed, the Twitter side of things. Do you think you're having a sort of a real impact in the way that the fans view the game? Because I think that's something that both Josh and I at All Stats Aren't, we're always thinking. We're always keen to see examples of where, for example, we always cite Adam Forshaw because he always used to get a really bad time, and then we spent a lot of time talking about what it was that he did, looking at some of his stats, and now it seems as though he's generally accepted as being a decent player. So is there anything like that that you feel as though you can point to and say, yeah, I've changed the way that Leeds fans experience the game?
I mean, I'd love to think so. I mean, there's nothing I love more than when someone sort of approaches me and asks for a specific metric. But there are a lot more fans there are some fans who ask me what XG is. What does XG stand for? What does it mean? What's a big chance created, for example? And I think just bringing these into the public domain, I mean, I didn't know much about most of these metrics about 5, 6, 7 years ago. And I've kind of learned along the way. And I think football fans, Twitter's a great place. It's got its rights and it's got its wrongs. But what it is good at is informing people. And a lot of people didn't know about a lot of metrics in football. It's the go-to place now. You can't get away from it. Everyone is talking about XG. Everyone's talking about touches, chances created. And it's a great thing, positive and negative. But I see it as a massive positive. And I think football fans are... are slightly more educated in terms of the stats and the numbers behind the game and the metrics that football clubs are actually using themselves. So hopefully, if I've done anything, it's trying to enlighten and bring those metrics into more of a public domain.
Indeed you have, Chris. Mate, it's been great having you on. Just before you go, I'd love to know how time-consuming this is for you. Like, and that's a realistic question. I'm not trying to take the mickey. I'd love to know how much time does it take out of your week to get these metrics, to get all this data, all these stats?
I'd be lying if it said it didn't take a lot of my time out. And I've got a very patient fiance who puts up with, it could be 2 a.m. and I'm deep into a Google spreadsheet and she's just saying, go to bed for goodness sake. But, it's one of those things. You're halfway through something, you've got your teeth into something, and I really want to work out just how well our defensive metrics are against the rest of Europe's top five leagues. But it does take up a lot of time, but it's worthwhile. I mean, I love doing it. If I had 300 followers, I'd still do it. So the fact that I've got quite a few more is lovely. But it does take up a lot of time, but I see it as all worth it. And if anything, educate myself. It's always a bonus.
Chris, mate, been great having you on. Hopefully we'll get you back on again soon. Thanks for joining us.
Thanks, guys. Really appreciate it. Take care.
That was Chris Taylor from LUFC Data. You all right, John?
I'm all right.
Yeah, you okay?
Holding it together, yeah.
Just holding it together. Do you know my favourite line on that particular interview? When he said, I love nothing more when someone approaches me and asks me for a particular metric.
Can I be honest? I have done that in the past.
Have you really?
I've been the guy who's tweeted him going, have you got a stat for this?
It is the new wave of football, gents. We were talking about it before the show, John. This is the way football's going.
It is, yeah. And it's great seeing these sorts of things happen, especially at Leeds. And we haven't really, we've had that sort of niche of sort of tactics and stats stuff, and it's great to see it being filmed.
Yep, it is. Just a quick update from the Championship. Charlton have taken the lead against Hull. The evergreen, Darren Pratley, although I say that, he's still only 34, by the way. Seems like he's been around forever. He has headed in from a corner. A dubious goal, you'd have to say. Did deflect off Reece Burke, so kind of think it might have been an own goal. Potentially a foul. A lot of the Hull players arguing with the referee, but it has been given. Charlton 1, Hull 0. This is the Leeds United fan show here on Lovesport.
We've all got one, and we're not afraid to put it on display. Our opinions, that is. Share yours now at Love Sport Radio on Twitter or call us 0208 70 20 558. Love Sport Radio, your fan station.
It's the Leeds United fan show here on Love Sport. Me, Matt Beadle, with John McKenzie from All Stats, aren't we? Joining us this week, we have Nat Dufton. I should say, sorry, the home of the XG champions, Leeds United fan show. That was brilliant. That line is going to definitely stick with me. That's going to come up again, by the way. I also have to apologise. I went with the most basic stat as well. You're all pulling out all these different metrics at your backsides, and I go, you got the most amount of points this season. So easy to judge.
You looked at the most recent tweet and asked the question, didn't you?
That's exactly what I did. Yeah.
So we put out a tweet saying, champions of XG, you'll never sing that, and Liam Cooper liked it.
Really?
So there you go.
There you go.
He cares about XG too.
Mate, the day that is sung around Ellen Road, you have made it. My friend,
yeah. I think that's what the tweet was. Let's get this singing. Let's get this around and on the road next time. Yeah.
It's when the players are the whole idea of pump it up and that going around and that being in my head all the time now, and all the players getting behind it. I'm thinking, oh boys, please do it because that could so come back to bias.
if it does happen and Leeds do go up at the end of the season, that is being sung on. You can just see the players singing that to the fans. Don't you know? Pump it up. The whites are going up. They're definitely doing that on the pitch. Let's hope it happens. Right. Listener questions, John. First one. Sorry, you're not reading them out. It's me. It's my job. You answer them. We could try it the other way around. See what happens.
Let's see what we get.
The first one up is from Dan Holdsworth. Chances. Recently, Leeds have created fewer big chances, but they are taking more. We've seen good counter-attacks lead to goals recently, but I feel like that is papering over the creativity drop. Do you agree? Is the drop in creativity to do with a recent change back to the 4-1-4-1 formation?
I think this is a really interesting question for a number of reasons. Firstly, he said fewer big chances rather than less big chances, which is very rare actually on our one of the things that actually does grind my gear is people saying less chances rather than fewer chances. So well done, Dan, on that.
Bravo.
Other than that, yeah, lots of interesting things to get into. I do think that the 4-1-4-1 formation is an interesting one to bring up because we've played it in our last two games and we've struggled to create as much in that formation. Now, obviously, during our build-up play, we try and go to a 3-3-1-3 anyway in possession. We call that a situational 3-3-1-3. But as I mentioned already on this show, actually, against Hull, we did stick to the 4-1-4-1 formation, even in possession a little bit, because we were spending a lot of time making sure that Bowen and Grzycki didn't get the ball. And I think that probably had an impact on our creativity. When it comes to the previous game, which we also played 4-1-4-1 in, and that was the Huddersfield game. Again, I felt as though there was mitigating factors in that game, and that was we've already mentioned that we played fullbacks in our back line. That was literally all of our back line was a fullback, and Ben White was playing in the midfield, and Huddersfield did what is best to do against Leeds, I think, if you can play that way, and that's to play in a quite Germanic style, hit it up to the big guy, and then vigorously counter-press to try and win the second ball if you don't get anywhere with the long ball. And that worked really well against us, because we're not used to teams just allowing us the pressure, absorbing it, taking it deep, and then kicking it long. So I actually think that the 4-1 formation is probably not to blame, but I think there are explanations why we played the 4-1-4-1 and why we haven't been quite as creative in that formation. So yeah, interesting question.
Agree with that, Nat?
I do. I think it's come from Bielsa adapting the tactics throughout the season. Earlier games where teams were nicking things against us, Forest, Derby, the horrendous Swansea game, I think he's looking at that and seeing we're creating all this pressure and we're maybe not making it count. And at that point, you almost just want to sit back and take what you've got. And then you're seeing teams, when you overcommit, come at you. And we saw it against teams last season. I remember Forest away last season, where we had a man sent off, despite the fact they probably should have first. I won't say anything about that. But
it's over, mate. It's over. It's gone. It's
last season. It's gone.
To let that one go.
But Jack Robinson still plays for them. I'm still annoyed. And you know, we went 3-1 up and we still went for it, and they turned it around and beat us 4-2. No, was it? Yeah, 2-1 up, and then we lost 4-2. And you know, I think Bielsa has learnt from that, and he thinks being ever so slightly more conservative in our play is better. We've got the quality that sees teams out, so why not go for it?
We're also seeing us counter-attack a little bit more as well, and I think that comes from maybe being a little bit more pragmatic and sitting a little bit deeper and then making the most of the space that creates, which we haven't really seen Bielsa do so far again. So I think that's probably a little bit of a development on his side too.
Lovely stuff. Okay, next one is from us, from our friend Mr. Glows White, or Mrs. Glows White, or Gloss White. We don't know. Have we established this yet?
We haven't established it.
We don't know whether it's to do with glowing. We don't know whether it's to do with gloss or Gloucestershire.
Gloucestershire.
But then would it not be G-O-U-C? Like, I don't know.
They do.
Customer,
is that how they do it?
As a Worcester man, they do call themselves Gloss.
Okay. Not with a double S, no? With a single S?
The customer is never wrong,
mate. No. No, I like it. I just want it. Hey, listen. Glows White, Gloss White, if you're listening out there, chuck us a WhatsApp, 0208 7020 558, or tweet us at Love Sport Radio. We would love to know, just to finally get confirmation on this. And your
that's
question.
The real question. Yeah, the real question.
That's the real quiz. Eddie replaced within. If Nketiah goes, what are our best options for replacing his backup striker role from within the squad? In brackets, suggested Roberts, play anywhere Dallas, or a winger up front.
I would go with Roberts, I think. I don't think anyone would disagree with that. I hadn't really thought of anyone else. Could you think of anyone that you might play up front instead of?
I mean, Edmondson, if he ever plays for us. I mean, some of my experience from Leeds is Football Manager. I'm a big fan. And I can say in the current edition, which is based on this season, Roberts does turn into a very capable centre-forward. Now, I'm not saying, you know, that's right, but it did spot Messi originally, so...
There we go.
Stats don't lie.
Stats do not lie. Comprehensive. Joe Hill, own goals. Own goals are our joint third top scorer this season with 4. Is this just an anomaly that will settle as the season goes on, or due to the amount of pressure we put teams under, could we see own goals bagging us 9 or 10 goals this year?
Yeah, I think so. I think the way that we play is quite productive of own goals. We had an own goal in the last game, right? Was it last game? We play so many games at the moment that they're all merging into one. I think that there's certain things that we do that make us more likely. We do like to hit the bylines. So we have Jack Harrison. A lot goes through him. Obviously, Pablo Hernandez as well on the other side, or even Helder Costa. Both of those guys are going to try and get back, hit the bylines, and then cut it back inside. And when you're doing that, often centre-backs have got their backs well, they're facing back towards their own goal, and they often just have to try and get anything on it to stop it from going into a more dangerous area. And that's been the way that we've had a few this season. And I think, yeah, we are going to cause more and more problems like that. We're going to probably leak own goals. Well, opposition's going to leak own goals against us.
It's that wonderful football term, the corridor of uncertainty. I absolutely love it. Get to the byline, pull it back, and something will happen. Panic ensues. I think, I completely agree with what you're saying. It's, you've got to get your leg in the way, otherwise Bamford's there behind you, just tap it in, and you know, you just think, I've got to throw myself at it. There were men who made careers out of doing it, and, you know, Jamie Carragher. Mm. So yeah,
absolutely. I'm going to have to text or tweet, sorry, I haven't got the number. Tweet Chris, asking about some XOG. I wonder whether that exists. That's a new one.
Expected angle, yeah.
This one is from Chris, not the Chris that we were just referring to, of course. Possession, or it might be. With mountains of possession, we struggle to score. The opposition can set themselves up to defend and remain disciplined. We seem to score on the break when the opposition are out of their defensive position. Should we let them come onto us more and use the turnover for the quick break?
I think my answer to this one is it's not quite as simple as that. It's not like you just sit deeper and then you're guaranteed that the opposition are going to come out against you. For example, the way that Leeds play and struggle to have to break down banks of four or five, it's precisely because teams come out and they say, right, we're just going to allow Leeds to have possession. And all that means is that you're not going to press up high. You'll probably not start pressing until they get to the halfway line. There's nothing you can really do about that if the opposition team set themselves up that way, because you are just going to have to play into that low block basically and try and break it down. The other option, as we've already talked about, is to do that and then sort of try and for them to try and decompress by kicking it long and then them storming the ball very quickly, seeing if they can make any space from a disrupted opposition. But there's not really much Leeds can do other than, like, I guess, try and do the same thing back. But you would just simply end up with the opposition probably kicking it long back to you so that you would have the possession again. And once you've got the possession and the other team sit deep, there's not really much you can do about it. So I do kind of agree with that. But a lot of the way that Leeds have to play this season has been based on that fact. And I think a lot of people are frustrated because they want to say, oh, why aren't we just more attacking? Why can't we just score more goals? We have so much possession. But the reason we have possession is because the opposition are letting us have that possession, because they know they've got a better chance of beating us if they play on the counter-attack than us breaking them down and scoring.
I think it almost comes down to, and this is something we can't help right now, is the quality of the opposition. If you're playing against a Man City every week or a Liverpool who want to attack you, and that gives you the event. I mean, we're talking about Bournemouth. You know, Bournemouth are a very nice attacking team. I love what Eddie Howe's done there. And I think if a team like that is coming at you, it's a lot easier to play like this. Whereas when you've got Millwall, who just want to sit behind the ball, and it's great. Thanks, lads. I'm going to really enjoy watching this game. It's a lot harder to break down, and you could almost, like carrot and stick, try and dangle, accidentally leave the ball a little bit. Oh no, you could take that and then charge in and take it back. I don't know if that would work. I don't think so necessarily, but I agree with you. Sitting back isn't necessarily the thing to do, because you could invite way too much pressure on than you're really there for. But we did it slightly against Hull to man mark out Bowen and Grzycki from the game, and it worked. So, you know, it's always the option.
I think that was not us necessarily giving up possession, though. It was more being a little bit more staid in terms of our defensive position, and that meant that when we were moving down the field, a lot of our attacking play is very heavily scripted on the training field, and so it just meant that we weren't quite getting the sort of coverage that our midfield gets, and so it broke down a little bit quicker. So for me, people were asking me why we not created chances in the last few games. It's because we're breaking down in the midfield area a little bit more, just because the players are a little bit more defensive, and so you're not getting the fullbacks quite so high up from the turnover, so you don't have that out ball necessarily on your right or left. You have to wait for them to catch up play. So it's one of those things where, you know, if you make a tactical decision somewhere, it's going to impact you somewhere else, and this always happens, and usually when you see something happening, it's the result of that.
Yeah, absolutely. He's just, yeah, fellas, he's just in here. Yeah, his name's Nat. I'm just letting the Millwall fans know that you're in here, mate. They're on next, just an FYI. Just
I really like Millwall. They're great.
And a question you, well, yeah, you alluded to this answer, to be fair, in your previous answer to the previous question. This is from Maz Love. Great name. This is on Stuart Dallas, of course. Not really much of a question, but it would be interesting if you guys could break down Dallas's man marking of Bowen in the whole match.
The Cook San Carthu, what a man. Let's start with that. And what did Lamrani call him? Like, the generous? It's just everywhere. No, I thought he marked him brilliantly out the game. You almost didn't see Dallas for the fact that you didn't see Bowen. You just sort of like went, oh, Dallas is... Oh, and you haven't seen Bowen all game. Fantastic. You know, just take out the danger, man. And I think the way he's adapted into that role and the role that Bielsa gave him for the night was literally just to sit on top of him. He's yours all night. Don't let him get past you. And I think I can remember once maybe where Bowen popped up with a bit of space in the box. So it shows what a fantastic job he did of just cutting him out of the game.
Mm. Yeah, Bielsa plays a man-marking system generally. So most of the, in defensive positions, he'll almost all of the players will be man-marking against opposition players. And so, and he said, you know, he doesn't like leaving the zonal marking to chance like that, so that's going to be something that we see generally. But when it's players like Bowen and Krasicki as well, because obviously who played right back, Ayling?
He was
keeping a close eye on him as well. So really interesting to watch Leeds defensively, because there's not many teams where you get a one-to-one correlation between all the players on the pitch in defensive positions.
Love a man mark. First time I ever saw it, the 1997 League Cup final between Middlesbrough and Leicester City. Pontus Cormac having to man-mark Janinho out of the game.
Ooh. Well, Janinho is a name I remember, but Pontus Cormac is definitely
mad,
not.
Huh?
Is that free kick Janinho?
It's the Middlesbrough Janinho. Oh. No, different Janinho.
Different Janinho.
Yeah, this is the Middlesbrough Janinho. No.
He was the free kick one, wasn't he?
Not that Janinho, no. It's not. It's a different...
I'm thinking the one that played for Leon, who scored some absolute worldies.
Yes, that's Leon Janinho. Yeah, no, different Janinho.
Yeah, that is a different Janinho. But the other Janinho, the one that we're thinking of, was worth a good free kick, wasn't it?
Occasionally, but it wasn't his trademark.
He's Brazilian, isn't he? They've all got it in a locker. Brazilian.
Yeah, a bit of a flair. Always good to have a 90s reference on the
Welcome
Leeds fan show.
Welcome back to the Janinho fan show here on Love Sport.
This is the Leeds United fan show, of course, not the Janinho fan show. And we're going to be focusing on that game with Cardiff tomorrow next.
For the fans, by the fans. Love Sport Radio.
It's the Leeds United fan show here on Love Sport. We are nearing our end, about 10 minutes to go. Now, tomorrow, Leeds United host Cardiff City in the Championship. What I build, by the way, before you came on air, I don't know whether you heard me, I didn't want to say it too loudly, the Neil Warnock derby. I don't know whether how happy you'll be about that.
It's not a thing.
Yeah, it's not a thing, is
it? How long was he with us? Not that long.
I know, but hey. You know, we've got
long
to do
enough.
On the line now, we have Andy Campbell, ex Cardiff City player, played for the Bluebirds between 2002 and 2006. How are you doing, Andy?
I'm very well, thank you.
Mate, great to have you on the line. Just firstly, Neil Harris, just the one defeat in five since he took the reins at Cardiff. I mean, not doing too bad a job, is he, the ex Millwall man?
Oh, he's had a great start. He's, I know he probably wasn't the fans' first choice, but you can't fault the way that he's turned things around. And you know what I mean? Obviously, he took over a very talented squad, and I think it just needed a little bit of tweaking. And I think it showed with the results that they've got. And you know what I mean? They've dug in at times, and they've shown a little bit more quality than they did at times when obviously Neil Warnock was in charge. But obviously, they lost the last game, so I think it puts a little bit more importance in the game tomorrow.
Hi Andy, it's John. I've just got a question. Just looking at the way that Millwall have responded to having a new manager after Neil Harris is gone, I just wondered whether or not you would have rather have had someone like Gary Rowett as a manager to Neil Harris, someone who it looks like they're trying to play a little bit more of an expansive style of football, or whether or not you think it was just fine for Cardiff to carry on with that the same sort of blueprint that they had under Warnock.
I think you took the words out of my mouth there. I think the word is expansive football and a change. And the way that Gary Rowett's doing it with he's obviously getting a little bit more out of Jed Wallace and they're creating more chances and they're playing a different way where Neil's style of football is he likes his target man and runners off him. Obviously, he played Steve Morrison for years and years and years. And obviously, Gary Medine now at Cardiff is getting a look in and playing a lot more games. And Cardiff are going down a similar route. They are obviously playing Lee Tomlin and playing a little bit more creative players in the starting 11, but they've still got that target man and it's still a little bit more direct. And I think personally, I thought the club might have gone down a different route and played and went for a manager who liked to play football a little bit and got more bums on seats and went down that route. But obviously, I think with the way that the squad was taking shape and the way that the season's gone so far, I think it was a quick fix but the result speaks for itself at the same time. So, you know what I mean, so far it's a good decision.
What about the trajectory of the club then? Because obviously this is all against the background of the fact that they came down from the Premier League. Do you feel as though they've dropped the ball a little bit, the owners of the club and the board, in not making sure that they were going to get promoted again this season?
I think a football club, and especially with the security net of parachute payments, I think they had an opportunity for me personally to bring in a manager and not really have to worry about getting promoted. They could have took a little bit more of a risk and time to bring in that right man, and it didn't really matter if they did or they didn't. Where now I feel costs have gone down, I'll call it a cheaper option. That I think the pressure is on them to get in the playoffs and to get back promoted. Whereas I think if they tried a different style of football and they went down a different route, that they could have taken a little bit more of a risk and went and pushed the ball out for somebody like Chris Hughton, like maybe a Lee Boyer who was named and touted around. And I think, you know what I mean, obviously I played with Neil, I know him personally and he's doing a great job, but I think it would have been nice for the fans to see a different style of football, because obviously possession wise, especially in the Premier League and it's even the season they went up in the Championship, teams came to the Cardiff City Stadium and played against Cardiff and absolutely dominated possession, and it was I think fans were quite fortunate that results went in their favour, because when results didn't go in their favour, they've got nothing to get excited about, and you know what I mean, there was lack of shots, there was lack of possession, so it's hard game to watch when you're not getting the results.
Hi Andy, it's Nat here.
Hiya mate.
I was just wondering, so with Danny Ward only scoring 5 goals so far this season, how much do you think Cardiff have missed Kenneth Zahor up front?
The way they play, I think he was the mainstay and the main reason probably why they got promoted the first time around, because he was the main focal point. He took pressure off other players in the team and did all the donkey work, really. And obviously they brought in Glatzel this season and it just hasn't worked out for whatever reason. He's got a good reputation, he's scored a lot of goals in Germany, but he hasn't really stayed fit, he hasn't had that run of form, he hasn't scored the goals which the fans were expecting him, and obviously that's given Danny an opportunity to play football and play more minutes than he was probably expecting. He's come off the bench a lot, scored goals off the bench, started a few games, but I think he's more of a sub to come on and impact than he is probably a starter. And obviously Neil's come in now and he's playing Gary Medine, and fans are getting a little bit frustrated now. He's been in charge five games. Gary's not scoring goals. He's not getting many chances and opportunities. He's creating chances for other people, but his centre forward there is based on goals, and I think you judge on your goals. And unfortunately, at the minute, he's not getting those opportunities or not finishing the chances that he's getting. And the fans are starting to be a little bit critical about it.
Andy, it's been great having you on. Thanks for coming on this evening. Just before you go, I've got to press you. Quick score prediction from you.
Based on the way that Leeds are playing, I can't see Cardiff getting much joy. I'd say one of my other teams, Middlesbrough, went down there 2 weeks ago and took a 4-0 beating, and it could have been a hell of a lot worse. So as long as it doesn't finish embarrassing, and Cardiff are in the game at times as long as possible they can, but I can't see anything but a Leeds win, and I think it'll be 2-0, because I think that's probably the scoreline that Leeds are favoured all season, really.
Great stuff. Thanks, Andy. Have a lovely weekend.
Thanks, fellas.
Andy Campbell there, ex-Cardiff man. Enjoyed that. Spoke a lot of sense, didn't he?
Yeah, that was really good. I enjoyed that.
So he reckons a Leeds win. What say you?
I'm going to completely agree with him. Before we came in here, I've written down 2-0. What would that be, the third 2-0 in a row? It's a great, great result, that. I love it. Those till the end of the season, absolutely fantastic.
I think I've said 2-0 for most of the last few games as well, so I'll stick with that too. Sounds good to me.
I mean, it's looking good, gents, isn't it? We can't beat around the bush, right? We're in December. We're nearly at Christmas. I don't want to count any chickens before they hatch, because you'll both have a go at me. But listen, 11 points clear, like you said, of that third spot at the moment. I know there are a couple of games in hand, but it is looking very good.
We do look very good. Like you're saying, I refuse to get carried away. I've been burned by Leeds. My dad's been burned by Leeds. My granddad's been burned by Leeds. I refuse to get remotely excited. So... But I'm really enjoying us playing well, and I've recently been going back and listening to the old episodes of The Square Ball, where they started doing the podcast in about 2010, and we're just we're awful.
You've been listening to old episodes? Really?
Well, I never caught it the first time round, yeah. Because I wasn't really... I kind of only rediscovered podcasts in the last couple of years. And, yeah, I mean, we were terrible. And, you know, every podcast is... Here we go again, lads. You know, this is, we might go down this year. And then every podcast now is, we're quite good. And, I'm really happy with how things are playing. We play such attractive football. But I still sit there and hide behind my hands after every goal.
Yep, indeed. I just have to announce before we go, chaps, that we have had a tweet in from Gloss White. Now, on the sheet that John gave me, we didn't have the apostrophe after the S. So I guess that was what caused some confusion. But thank you for tweeting in. Listening live tonight, so can confirm it's Gloss as in Gloucestershire. So you were correct, Nat.
Can I just say then, come on you Warriors, Worcester, switching sports for a second. It's all Worcester Warriors, mate.
Disgusting stuff.
And I do like as well, by the way, that Gloss White did put, oh, it's so nice to say it with authority now, Gloss White, did put in brackets with a slight nod to a poor pun with respect to Gloss White, like in paint, like yeah. I said. Mm-hmm. Gents, great having you on. Nat, I'm sure we'll see you again.
Yeah, fantastic. I've really enjoyed this.
This has been the Leeds United Fan Show on Love Sport. We'll see you next week at 8 p.m.
This programme was previously broadcast live on Love Sport Radio, so some items may be out of date. For more podcasts or to listen live, visit lovesportradio.com.